Walking in financial dominion, I'm trusting God to wrap up the theoretical aspect today, and we will have practical sessions next Sunday. Before we can have the practical sessions, I need to introduce them, so I'm trusting God for speed. I have a lot to share with you this morning that will bless you without wasting your time and mine. But then we need to have the foundation which I'm laying so that we can build the practical aspects of this subject on it. Why do we talk about financial dominion? Why are we talking about money? Well, you have bills to pay. And God is not glorified to see his children being in the position of requesting urgent 2K from their friends. God's desire is that you will be blessed, so blessed that the blessed will call you blessed, so blessed you'll be a blessing to other people. David the psalmist in Psalm 23 said, "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Not as a waste. It runneth over to be a blessing to other people. So wherever there is dryness, as the anointing on my cup runs over, it flows to every area of dryness and brings succor, brings help, brings comfort. It is the desire of God that his children would be a blessing to their world. In Genesis chapter 12, you remember when God called Abraham? In verse 2, God said to him, and whoever is on the system, thank you, God bless you this morning. He said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will baraka you." The Hebrew word for bless is baraka. I will baraka you. I will bless you, which means I will empower you to succeed. I will empower, that's the meaning. I will empower you to do well. I will empower you to excel. So every time I say God bless you, I'm saying God will empower you to excel, to do well, not empower you to fail. The empowerment is for you to excel. And God said, this was the mandate that God gave to Abraham. Well, it was Abram at this time, then God along the line changed his name to Abraham, introduced the H, which is Hashem, which is God's name. He said, "And I will bless thee and make thy name great." So that's my part, that's my business. But then your own part is the last phrase. "And thou shall be a blessing." That's not a prayer, that's a responsibility. I will make a great nation of you, all right? You can't do that for yourself, but I'm going to do that for you. And I will empower you to succeed. You can't do that for yourself, I'm going to do that for you, all right? And I will make your name great. You can't do that for yourself, I'm going to do that for you, all right? But then you will go ahead to take the blessing with which I have blessed you to become a blessing to all the people. So wherever you go as a child of God, you are supposed to be a blessing, not a lesson. Because there are two categories of people in this world. Nobody's neutral. As I'm speaking to you right now, speaking to people who are online and those who are on site, you are either a blessing or a lesson. May people come in contact with you and say, "Wow, what a blessing this person is," not "What a lesson you are." Can I have an amen to that? But God said this to Abraham. How does that concern me? If you travel down to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, the word of God tells us, Paul the apostle picked this up by the Spirit, and Paul said, if you are Christ, if you be Christ, if you belong to Christ, can I ask you expression house, do you belong to Christ? You know the way we answer in the expression house, do you belong to Christ? Very good. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you are Christ, then you are, according to the scripture we just read, you are whose seed? So somebody say, "I am Abraham's seed." So the mandate God gave Abraham, he gave you as well. Not just that your name, God will make a nation out of you. Not just that you will be blessed. And not just that your name will be great. God said, you shall be a blessing. So the responsibility lies on you to be a blessing. But how can you be a blessing when you are living a life of not enough? The fact that I'm born again, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I speak in tongues, I read my Bible, doesn't mean that financial resources will come to you. As a matter of fact, you know many spiritual people around you who are very spiritual, maybe even your parents or family members or close relations that you know, very spiritual but yet very poor. And so when there is a function in the family and then they distribute what everybody is going to contribute, then they say, don't worry about that person, we will pay for them. Because they have nothing to contribute. If that had been before now, the portion of your parents, you are destroying that jinx right now in the name of Jesus. Lack is not nice. And if you are poor in a family, I'll tell you, they will despise your wisdom. They will despise your wisdom. I read in Ecclesiastes. I was just feasting on it this morning. I mean, it wasn't anything I wanted to share, but I just saw the Bible says that there was a small city and there were very few people in that city. And there was a great king who came against the city and he came with his mighty host and they besieged the city. But then there was a poor man in the city who had wisdom. And through his wisdom, he delivered the city. But guess what? After delivering the city despised his wisdom. They despised the wisdom of the poor man because he was a poor man. In the society, you have no say when you're poor. Let's deal with it. And again, Jesus paid the price for our poverty anyways. So why do we want to embrace a little portion of our salvation and leave the others unembraced? Why do we take the new birth and not take our deliverance? And not take our restoration? And not take our financial provision when he paid for it all? So go with me to my text, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. And then 3 John verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. And then 3 John and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. I want us to read this together. 1, 2, go, everybody. But thou, come on, rev it up. 1, 2, go. But thou shalt remember. They can't hear you online. Rev it up. Let's go now. 1, 2, go. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. He said it is the Lord that gives you power to get what? So God wants you to get wealth. That's why he gives you the power. He didn't give us the power to get poverty. The Bible says wealth. Wealth is wealth. I don't care how anyone wants to describe that. Wealth is wealth. Can I have an amen to that? And this is the word of God. It's too late for any one of us to change. And someone said, well, that is old covenant. Go to 3 John now and verse 2. 3 John and verse 2, and let's see in the new covenant if God is still saying the same thing. Because I know that my God never changes. I don't know about your God, but my God never changes. Hebrews 13 verse 8 tells me Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 tells me God never changes, and that's why you children of Jacob are not consumed. Are you there? 3 John and verse 2. If you are there, can you say amen? All right, let's read out loud. And it's too early for anyone to sleep. If you're sleeping now, you need to be born again. Can I have an amen to that? Third John and verse 2. It says, beloved, 1, 2, go. Beloved, I wish above how many things? Above how many things? Come on. Above how many things? What, how many is all? All is all, right? Now, what does he wish above all things? That you may be poor, because it shows that you're very spiritual. Is that what the Bible says? What does he wish above all things? Come on now, church. Don't sleep on me. Above all things, what does he wish? That put yourself there, personalize it, that Fred, that I may prosper, one, sickness, even as my soul prospers. Say with me, above all things, that Fred may prosper. If your name is Fred, but if you love me, put my name there. That Fred may prosper. Come on, I can't hear you properly. That Fred may prosper. Am I hearing variations of, may prosper. My name is Fred. That Fred may prosper. Above all things, that Fred may prosper. And that Fred may be in health. Even as Fred's soul prospers. Can I have an amen to that? Oh, you guys love yourselves. This is the mind of God established. Is that clear? Is that clear, church? So don't get it twisted. Don't be discouraged by the attack on social media against pastors, against churches, against prosperity and all of that. No, look, man, if you wind up poor, the children of this world will make jest of you. Those social media influencers don't care a hoot about you. Those people attacking the church, if you send a DM to them to give you money you want to feed, they will be the one to screenshot your message and post it to the world and make jest of you. So don't care a hoot about the people who don't care a hoot about you. I want you to care about the mind of God. What is the mind of Christ for me? The Bible says that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Can I have an amen to that? This message is not just for now. This message is for today, tomorrow, and for many, many years to come. I understand that most of you are students. You're not working yet. Some of you are in final year. Some of you just starting university. Some of you just out of university. Some of you planning to go into university. Some of you planning to start a business. Some of you are already doing a business. I understand that the demographics I pastor are people that are burdened with ideas. And I trust God to give you insights, to give you concepts, to give you ideas in the name of Jesus. I trust God to prosper you in the name of Jesus. So you need this to arm yourself. You need to arm yourself with this message. You need it for today, tomorrow, and for many, many years to come. Because I don't want you to be confused about God's plan, God's will, God's purpose, God's idea for your life. And I hope nobody is messing with their phone right now and listening for a word that can bring a change to their lives. There is a condition to prosperity. There is a condition to walking in financial dominion. And I shared that several weeks ago. I'll quickly just mention it. A heart that beats for God. Do you remember that? Okay, good. A heart that beats for God is a major, major precondition for walking in financial dominion. It's a major one. A heart that beats for God. If you were not here then, please go get the messages I preached before now. I don't want to go back to all of those messages so that we can move on this morning. I moved on from that condition, which is a heart that beats for God, which, I mean, you have many scriptures to back it up. I used David as an example, who sat in his house and said, look, how can God's temple, how can God's presence be in a canopy, you know, be under a tent? And then they decided to build a house for God. And God said, no, you can't build me a house because your hands, you're a man of war. Your hands are stained with blood. And he said, well, okay, if you don't allow me to build a house, I'm going to let my son build it. But I'm going to provide for everything needed to build that house. That's a heart that is rich towards God. A heart that imagines and devises good things. Some people imagine mischief. They conceive it. They conceive bad ideas and they spread it among the brethren. It's some people's job. That's their job. That's their ministry. But if you have a heart that beats for God, it's a heart that thinks, how can we make our church better? How can we make things better here? How can I make things better in my family? How can I make things better in my department in school? How can I make things better in my office where I work? How can I ensure that the name of God is not messed up, but the name of God is glorified in this place? That's a heart that beats for God. If you have that kind of heart, don't worry. It's only a matter of time. The resources will come. If you have it in your heart, the resources will come into your hands. David alone, of his own proper good, gave 3,000 talents of gold for the things of gold. Several billions of US dollars in today's currency. Just David alone. He raised a mighty army, an army of men. They gave 100,000 talents of gold. 100,000 trillions of US dollars today. To build the house of God and use the gold for the things of gold. They gave silver, they gave wood, they gave iron, they gave stones, precious stones, only for the things of gold. 100,000 talents of gold. Do you have that kind of heart? Do you have a kind of heart that devises good things? A heart that beats for God? A heart that looks at your neighbors that are poor and you are thinking, how can I be a blessing to them? How can I show them the love of God? How can I feed the hungry? How can I be a blessing to the orphans? How can I help the less privileged? That's a heart that beats for God. A heart that wants to do the bidding of God every day, every time, everywhere you find yourself. You're not looking at the disadvantages. You're not looking at how to bring people down or how to run down your organization. You're looking at how to make things better. So much so that people will look at you and say you are a child of God. Didn't Jesus tell us to let our light shine so bright that the world may see, that men may see and glorify your Father that is in heaven? That condition is the number one condition for financial dominion, a heart for God. If your heart is not in your giving, God will not accept it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and I believe now, can I have that on the screen? Okay, let's take it from 9:6, 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Did I say Chronicles? My goodness. I meant Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, media. I got that mixed up. Corinthians, all right. I don't want KJV. Backpedal to verse 6. So remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. You are thinking of others. You are thinking about God. Go to the next verse. Very good. This is where I'm going. Verse 7. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. Not reluctantly or sorrowfully. Don't give to God sorrowfully. Don't be a blessing to others sorrowfully. And I'm giving you my pair of shoes. Am I giving you my pair of shoes? No, don't give. Don't give. Don't. Okay? God will not kill you for not giving it. But God says, I want a heart that beats for me. A heart that gives rejoicing. Amen? It says, don't give reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. This is very compulsory. You have to. No, don't do it. I know some churches do it, some pastors do it. Don't do it. Why? Because God will not accept anything that is not driven by our heart. And in our heart is love. So God is looking for love. That when you're giving me anything, let it come on the platter of love. Are you with me, church? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. All right, so he says, for God, what is God looking for? God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without who? A cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver. He didn't stop there. You got to be joyful or joyous. You got to be prompt to do it. But then he didn't stop there. It says, whose heart, that kind of giver, whose heart is, whose spirit, whose love is in his giving? Can I have an amen? So, if it's coming from your heart, God will receive it. And when God says thank you, it is not just in mere words. It is in action. Certain things will happen in your life, good things, and they are a way of God saying thank you. May that be your experience in Jesus' name. Let's move on very quickly. Then I began to talk about the channels. The channels for financial dominion. I spoke about tithing. I showed us tithing in the old covenant, and I showed us tithing in the new. There is no subject that has been debated apart from speaking in tongues among some circles back in the maybe early 40s, 50s in America. After that is tithing. Till today in Nigeria, there are ministers and ministries who are speaking against tithing, who believe that tithing is old school, tithing is under the law, it's abolished with the law, and it should never be practiced again. And they seem to be doing okay. But I stand to let you know that tithing predated the law. It came before the law. Tithing was re-emphasized during the law. And when the law was abolished or abrogated, tithing still continues till today. Jesus Christ was not ordained a priest after the order of Aaron. There was the Levitical priesthood according to the order of Aaron. Jesus was not ordained after Aaron. Jesus was ordained a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this Melchizedek has no beginning of days nor end of reign. And the Bible says that his priesthood is forever. Meaning that whatever he did then, he's still doing now, he will continue to do. This Melchizedek was the priest of God who met Abraham in Genesis 13, 14 as Abraham was coming from the slaughter of the kings and he took tithe from Abraham. He didn't demand it. Abraham gave him. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? So we're not talking about tithing out of compulsion. It was out of worship. Abraham knew he couldn't have won that battle by his own strength. He had only a little over 300 civilians in his house, servants that he trained, and they went out to fight against four kings with mighty men and soldiers, and they won them. How do you do that? How? You pick up somebody that started learning boxing yesterday to come and fight Mike Tyson or Anthony Joshua. You simply pick up the obituary of that person after round one. But then, an amateur boxer now disgraces a heavyweight champion. How? These are the kind of things that, the kind of testimonies people end up saying, who did it? Can I have an amen to that? Because you know, in the natural, you can't do that. That was what Abraham did. Look, I knew there was no way I could have fought and overcome those kings. There was no way I could have done that. It must have been God who helped me. So on his way back from his victory, he met Melchizedek. And he discerned that this must be a man of God. You see, you must have discernment too. Discernment is key. Discernment of people. Discernment of places. Where does God want me to go? Does God want me in this place or out of this place? Never stay one extra day in a place where God does not want you, because you will never flourish there. Not every kind of plant flourishes in every kind of soil. Those of you that are students of agriculture, you know that there are certain plants that will do well in humus soil. If you plant them on sandy soil, they're going to die. If you put them on clay, they will never survive. But there are some plants that will survive only on clay. You put them in humus soil, as rich as humus is, they will die. They can't survive it. God has a place for everyone. If you take a fish out of water and put it on sand to survive, you will kill that fish because you have taken it from its natural habitat. The Bible said, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. You must discern your place. Psalm 133, the writer of the psalm said, as he was talking from the beginning, he was describing the anointing on Aaron's head. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Come on, move quickly. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard, upon the head, that ran down upon the beard and upon Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. Yes. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. He described a particular place. The dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in that place, the Lord commanded the blessing, the blessing, even life forevermore. He didn't say upon Mount Sinai. He said upon the mountains of Zion. So if you left the mountains of Zion for the mountain of Sinai, you would have missed your place of blessing. Are you with me, church? And the Bible says, as a sparrow, as a bird, wanders out of his nest, so is a man that wanders out of his place. May you never wander out of your place. Number three thing you must discern is times and seasons. You must discern the times and seasons. I think it's 1 Chronicles 12:32 that spoke about the sons of Issachar, the men of Issachar. He said they had the understanding of the times and the seasons. What Israel ought to do per time. What is God doing in this time, in this season, in this day? What is God doing in my life? Right now, what is God doing? What does he want me to do? What does he want me to start doing? What does he want me to stop doing? What does he want me to do differently? Abraham discerned Melchizedek. This man must not be allowed to go. Knelt before him and paid the tithe of all to Melchizedek. Melchizedek took it and blessed Abraham. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And he blessed God, and he gave Abraham bread and wine, which is what we do at communion service today. And that was it. That act was recorded before the law was given to Moses. Moses was not yet born at that time. That act was picked up by Paul the Apostle in Hebrews chapter 7. He described the priesthood of Melchizedek, Hebrews 7, Hebrews 8. You find it there. And as men that receive tithe here die, he said he abides forever. Jesus never dies. He is the one that receives them. He receives our tithe. You may be tithing to church. You may be giving it to the church account or pastor. Listen, Jesus is the one receiving it. Can I have an amen? So go and do your exegesis very well. Even when the Lord came during his earthly ministry, Matthew 23:23 or 25:25, you'll find it in either. He said to them, you are not supposed to do this and neglect the other. You are not supposed to neglect the weightier matters of the law and focus only on tithing. He said, do this and do the other as well. Can you give that to me quickly? Matthew, I think it's 23:23 or 25. I think it's 23:23. Quickly, please, media. Quickly. Whoever is on the system this month, I'm pressed for time. So please, it's no time to. Yeah, that's it. Matthew 23:23, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. He said, what are the weightier matters of the law? Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. You ought to have tithed, and not to leave the order undone, and not to leave the weightier matters of the law undone. Give it to me in NIV. NIV, quickly. NIV, quickly. NIV, NIV, NIV. God bless you, media. All right, let's read together, everybody. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, that is, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former, that is, paying tithe. Is that not clear? Talk to me, church. If you're still here, talk to me, church. Is that not clear? It is clear. The gospel is simple. You only need an expert to confuse you. There are many experts out there confusing you. I wish you would go back to your Bible and go back to the Holy Ghost and let him teach you. Tithing, one of the channels. Today, I focus on the other channels. Number two, I call this one other kinds of giving and seed sowing. Other kinds of giving and seed sowing. I'm going to now break them into subsets. I have five subsets. Subset A, if you did elementary mathematics, you know set theory, you know subset. So subset A, offerings. You give your offerings. It's expected when you come to church to give offerings. I saw a video online yesterday of a Ghanaian guy who was making mockery of a church. Well, I don't know why the pastors decided to stand over the offering baskets. I wouldn't do that, but I'm not judging them. People have different styles of administration. But they were standing over the baskets. And this guy was making a video and referring, as people were coming out, the ushers were dropping the offerings and maybe the tithe, the collections into the baskets. And he said, look at them. They are cashing out. They are cashing out. Our mumu never reach. They are cashing out. You will take your money. You take it to church. your hard-earned money. You take it to church, and they will tell you that they are helping you to give it to God. Oh, wake up! It sounds logical. Oh, really? Is that what we do every week? We take our money, give it to church, under the pretext that the church will help us give it to God. Where is the God they're giving it to? Is God spending money in heaven? Are these guys not scamming us? Are pastors not scammers? They drive the best cars in church. They wear the best clothes. Their kids are well fed. They must be feeding fat on us. That's what is trending now. But we have the Spirit of Christ. And we have the Word of God as a guide. So whenever there is any confusion in any area, go back to the Word of God. And say, Lord, I need clarity on this matter. I said a prayer 2 weeks ago. I said to the Lord, on a particular issue, let there be light. Lord, I want light on this matter. Because according to Psalm 36 and verse 9, one of my favorites, the Bible says, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light shall we see light. So I want to see light, and I know, Lord, that in your light I see light. Can I have an amen to that? Can I have a better amen to that? David the psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 1, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. Somebody said, the Lord is my light. In 1 John 1, 5, the Bible makes it very clear to us that we have received this message from God, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Jesus said also, he that follows me, I'm the light of the world, and he that follows me will never walk in darkness. So you need light. What light do we need on the subject of giving offerings like we do every week? In this church, we have two services, Sunday morning, Thursday evening. And in those two services, we give offerings. It's not going to the pastor. It's going to God. Okay? So mark my mouth, cameraman. It is going to God. How do you mean it's going to God? It came from God. There is nothing you have that you manufactured. You are not designed to be your own source. God is the source. Oh no, I have a source of income, Pastor. I run a business. Your business is a channel of income. A channel is a conduit through which something passes. But it is coming from a source. Are you with me, church? Come on, wake up. Are you with me, church? If you trace your life, trace everything in your life back, you trace yourself back to God. In Genesis, there's a genealogy there that you normally read. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat, etc. And then you read and read and read and read. And then there's a trace all the way back to Adam. And back to Adam, they say, Adam, the son of God. Every human being, every resource on this planet, the gold, the lithium, the silver, everything you have beneath the earth crust that people are mining and turning to money belongs to God. He is the source. He is the source. I was invited Friday, impromptu. We had a naming ceremony, family event, and from there, a reverend in this city was supposed to minister at a dedication of a company, and he was at the airport when they reminded him on his way to Yola, and he called one of the pastors in this church. The pastor just left our naming ceremony and then called me if I would be available because he had another meeting. I said, okay, fine, God's work, I'm ready. He gave me the contact of who to call. I called the person. They said, I got 20 minutes to preach, preaching only. I said, okay, that's fine. No preparation, nothing. It was impromptu. I went for naming ceremony. I didn't know I was going to wind up somewhere preaching. The major, major, major thing that the Lord said to me as I was driving to that place, tell the man, God is the source. It was a very small gathering, but a very small gathering of the high and the mighty in this society. They talk about the head of DSS, talk about army generals. Those were the kinds of people there. Those were the kinds of people that gathered to dedicate a business. And there were general overseers of churches in this city that I know, I won't mention, that I know, fathers in the faith. They called them to just pray. You say a prayer for the family. You say a prayer for the business. You say a prayer for the nation. You say a prayer for everybody. But this small boy to come and preach to everybody. And God told me on the way, let him know that I am the source. So when I got there, I looked at the man who was an army officer himself, who had now turned out to be a lawyer and then a businessman. I said, sir, the Lord said to me, I've never met you before. You look familiar, but the Lord said I should let you know that he is the source and you must remember to always acknowledge him. Because men will give you accolades and call you a bright businessman. You are so smart. You are an astute businessman. You are a shrewd businessman. You are so cerebral. And people will sing your accolades on an occasion like this, which people had done before I came to the microphone. I said, but sir, the Lord said to remind you that he's the source. I never believed in my life that they could give me 20 minutes and I would speak for about 16 minutes. It has never happened before. It was sharp, it was short, it was straight to the point. And no doubt, I was blessed because God spoke. It wasn't PFE. God is the source. There is nothing anybody has that they can arrogate to themselves. There is nothing you have that you must ever in your life arrogate to your hard work. I'm a hustler. I'm a self-made millionaire. I say, shut up. Don't you ever say that in your life. God made you. The intelligence you are using to make money. Who gave you the intelligence? I got it from my parents. My dad is a very smart guy. Who gave it to your dad? His grandfather. Who gave it to his father? His grandfather. Who gave it to his grandfather? And then you trace it and trace it and trace it and trace it back to God. At the end of it all, when there shall be no more earth, the Almighty remains the Almighty. Can I have an amen? It was the one that began before the beginning began. When Moses captured him in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, he said, in the beginning, God. God was there before the beginning. So in the beginning, he was there. He was the one that instructed the beginning to begin at the time that the beginning began. And when there shall be no more beginning, he will continue to reign supreme forever. Because he has neither beginning of days nor end of reign. In fact, he said, I am the beginning and the end. Can I have an amen? So let's drop all the proud arguments. How much is your offering anyway? The people that argue, I can't be giving my money to church. How much is your stinking money? How much? Not enough to buy somebody's lunch. On the day of Dunamis, when we finished, I went to my office. I didn't eat before coming to church. Like typical, I don't eat Sunday morning unless there's a problem. After service, everybody had rejoiced. We had given so much as a church. We spent. It was a time of spending and being spent. And I was hungry. I sent for my food. My wife said, no food. Normally, I would take my family to Captain Cook. We'll go and have lunch. But I looked at my account. I had spent so much money. It didn't look good for me to go and have lunch. I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to have lunch. And I want you to buy me lunch. I'm not a manipulator. I've never called any of you before. And I will never call any of you. And I will never slide into your DM. Aren't you led by the Spirit of God to buy your pastor lunch? It will never come even as a joke. Are you with me, church? I said to Jesus. He called me into the ministry. So he will fund me. I waited. I didn't see anything. So I called my wife again. I said, what's available? She said, well, we have fried yam and fried potato with pomo, and it's very delicious. Somebody is selling it. One of our sisters selling it across the road at the satellite church. Should I make an order for you? 500 naira? You will drink water till tonight. I said, very good. Send it. So the thing came. I said, Lord, you know this thing is not balanced. This diet is not balanced. This is potato, carbohydrate, yam, carbohydrate, stew. We don't even know whether it's hydrocarbo. And mama. But you know what? I rejoiced as I ate it. I enjoyed every bit of it. I licked the plate. Nobody was there. It was in my office. I even got extra for a friend. And some for some people around. And no money came in. I didn't want to touch the money in my account. So we drove out. Down the road, then all the way home. And I got home and I was thinking, God, at this level now, I can't be, you know now, I shouldn't be making this kind of request. And you know, I didn't argue, but in my head, that thought was ongoing. You know, and then I started drinking water. And then on the couch, I slept off until maybe at about 3 a.m. So I got up, went to the room, freshened up a little bit, got ready for my early morning prayer. The whole week passed, and I didn't even think about it anymore. Then a thought came to me during the week. Did you feel disappointed? It was like King Jesus talking to me. Did you feel disappointed that I didn't come through at the time you actually wanted me to? Because I wanted it that afternoon. Like somebody just walked into my office, zam. I said, Pastor, I didn't know, but somehow I just felt led to come and sow this seed. Or like, I just went to Captain Cook with my friends. And now, by the way, don't be going to Captain Cook to buy me food, please. I beg you. I didn't say that for you to start doing that. I'm not a manipulator. So, I mean, you know, that would have been the very lovely testimony. That man, I trusted God, I told him, and boom, the food came. But boom, the food didn't come. 2 weeks. This is like the third week now, or so. This is the second Sunday after Dunamis. So last week, so that's exactly a week. We were in UCH and my sister-in-law was going to have a baby. And one of the doctors that was helping us didn't meet me there. I had left. And he told my wife to get across to me that I should get across to him. So I sent him a text. Hey, doc, what's going on? He said, well, could you please send me your account details? Account details? We were in UCH spending money. So I thought, okay, maybe it was for, you know, maybe to support what was going on. He said, actually, somebody has a gift for you and it's a surprise. So he doesn't want you to know. Just said, I should get your account details. So I sent my account details. Anytime they request for your account details, please send it. Tell your neighbor, please don't be slow in sending it. Because some of you would still wait to be led. You want to hear from God. Because I was shocked. I sent him the account details. In less than 5 minutes, I stand before God, I line up. In less than 5 minutes, the background just came in. It was the whooping 100,000 naira. It was 100K. And immediately the Lord said to me, that was the lunch money you asked for. And guess what I did? I paid my tithe. Then I now bought dinner for a family. Because whatever comes to you is not supposed to end with you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must be a channel, not a dam. Be a stream flowing. A stream is always fresh. But if you're a dam, things come to you and they end with you, you're going to have too many clutters. If you go to a dam, you find dead flies, dead cockroaches, dead rats, because they don't flow out. Christians that are miserly, they have old things. They have a gallery of old things in their homes. Old shoes, old clothes, old pots, old towels, old everything, including old soup. We're not supposed to live like that. I told you that story to encourage you that God is the source. Whatever you have comes from Him. Psalm 104 verse 28. I'm going to be quick with the scriptures. Psalm 104 verse 28. Psalm 104 verse 28. David was talking to God here. He said, that thou givest them, they gather. You open your hand, they are filled with good. Listen, we are gatherers. We are not the source. Listen, church, look at me. It is what God gives that you gather. It now depends on how much you are able to gather by virtue of maybe your level of education, your exposure, the favor of God working in your life, your recognition of His presence, your developing yourself, which is very important, very important. You might have to go back to school. You might have to get a degree, get an extra diploma, get into tech, acquire a skill. You are preparing yourself to gather. You are not the source. You are a gatherer. Not good English. Take it. He that gathers is a gatherer. You are not the madman of Gadara. Gadara is normal D. This is gather, gatherer. Somebody say, I'm a gatherer. I'm not from Gadara. I'm a gatherer, gatherer. David said, that thou givest them, what do they do? Come on, talk to me, church. They say gather. Good English. You guys are good speakers of English language. So, it is what God gives that you gather, my friend. You're not that smart. You're not all that intelligent. Nah. It is what he gives, you gather. He opens his hand. You are filled with good. If he shuts it, boom, scarcity will happen. Let me give you another scripture. For you to know you are not the source. John 3:27. Jesus said, it was John, I think, that said this. John made this statement. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing. A man can receive how many things? Come on, talk to me. Let's do this together. A man can receive how much? Zero thing. Nothing. Except it be given from a man can receive how much? Shingbine. Put it in your Bible. A man can receive shingbine. Except it be given him from heaven. So every time you get a job, 50K job, 20K job, 100K job, 150K job, is given to you from heaven. Return the glory to the source. Can I have an amen? Amen. You're not the best in your field, though. All this best is a lie. There are better people who are not discovered. You think Nigeria has the best team yet in terms of football? No, you have not seen the brightest footballers we have. Go to Oshodi. Go to Somolu under the bridge. The only challenge is that time and chance has not happened to them. Some of those boys that sell gala on the highway can run faster than Usain Bolt. But no platform for them. So give God praise for your own platform. I'm in school of nursing. Why am I in school of nursing? I should be a medical doctor. You better thank God for your nursing. Can I have an amen? You know how many people wrote that exam and they were not taken? Not because you are more brilliant than them. Ecclesiastes 9:11. He said, now I returned and saw under heaven that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor favor to the learned, nor wealth to the brilliant. He said, but time and chance happened to them all. Time and chance. Time and chance. Thank God for your own time and chance. Thank God for where you are. I'm studying wood technology. Is that a good course? Wood tech. Thank God for that wood tech. Thank God for what he can do out of your wood tech. Are you with me? Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, not the profession you belong to, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrows to it. What course did Bill Gates study? What course did Dangote study? What course did Warren Buffett study? How about Elon Musk? Go to John 1:17. John 1:17. Ah, did I mean John? No, sorry. That was out of place. That was out of place. I mean 1 Corinthians 4:7. I have a lot of sevens in my note. 1 Corinthians 4:7. 1 Corinthians 4:7. I want to start getting to the body and then wrapping up. 1 Corinthians 4:7. 1 Corinthians 4:7. 1 Corinthians 4:7. 1 Corinthians 4:7, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's read that together, everybody. For who maketh thee to differ from another? My friend, stop your gra-gra. Who makes you to differ from another? And what have you? What hast thou that thou did not receive? What have you got that you didn't receive? Kiloniti shekpa afifueni. Then dash you. Then give you. There's nothing you have that was not given to you. And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Why the gra-gra as if you are the Almighty? No, you are not. You're are in position today because God gave you that position. He gave Nebuchadnezzar a position. Nebuchadnezzar got to a point he thought he was the Almighty. He looked one day standing at the front porch of his palace with gigantic patio, and then he had these marble stones and onyx stones, and he had a fountain flowing in front of his palace. He had a gold chain around his neck that was drilling down to his belly, and the pendant was dangling. Big man, huge, larger than life, with a broad chest. And he looked over Babylon, and he said, Babylon, Babylon. Oh, look at Babylon that I built with my strength. I'm the source. I built this city. I built this church. I built this country. I built this family. I built this fellowship. Shut up. You are not all that. No, you are not. No, sir. You are not. You are not the builder. Can I have an amen? God shut him up. Gave him the heart of an animal. Same day he said it, he was humbled. Hey, I beg you, church, let us be humble so that we will not be humiliated. So that we will not be humbled. It is better to be humble than to be humbled. Don't let D be added to the back of your humble. I beg you. Don't let D be added. It's a very painful experience. Nebuchadnezzar went into the university of animals. A human being became an animal. And God, so merciful, he did not die. He didn't die in the state of being an animal. He was still conscious as an animal, as a human being. He knew he was a human being inside his heart, but he couldn't help himself. Claws grew, beard grew, hair grew, the fur, the skin of an animal grew on him. And he ate grass for 7 years. He went to study vet medicine. When God restored him, the first thing he did was to give glory to God. Don't wait until that happens. Are you with me, church? The God who did that is still the same God. Amen? La, 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 la. Never you be bigger than your shoes. Never in your life. Never. Never. You are not all that, oh? And people tell me, I see the great work you are doing, the expression. I said, no, sir. Jesus is the one doing the work. Some, I can't shout. I just say very politely, oh, no, Jesus is the one doing the work. Yeah. They say, we know he's the one, but he's the one, amen. He's the doer of the work. There's nothing Pastor Fred can do, nothing. I can't even preach without him. I don't know Bible that much. Some people know Bible. Me, I don't know Bible that much. Which Bible do I know? Is it not what he teaches me I know? You are not the source. So for you to give an offering to God is a privilege. To give 5,000 as an offering, to give 100, to give 1 million as an offering is a privilege. I don't know how the believers of today think, but I think I belong to the old school class. The old school class of the believers who normally dream of what to give God someday. That one day, oh no, you will so bless me, I will give 1 million as an offering. It was a dream years ago. And I brought out my checkbook and I wrote the name of my pastor and I wrote 1 million naira. And the next leaflet, I wrote the name of the church. I wrote 1 million naira. By the grace of God, the two have been done. And I'm not going to stop. And they have been repeated and they'll be repeated again and again. It was a dream for me, a dream come true. And it's going to continue to be a dream. But I'm going to continue to pursue it. It's a heart for God. He's the source. My father and the Lord laughed at me. The first day I went to his house and I told him the story. I said, I told God that any day that this little boy sees 1 million in his account, what? Do you know how many years of suffering? I worked as an MC. I traveled all the way from Ibadan to Elisha. They paid me 500 naira. Whooping 500 naira. In this hall, we used this hall for a wedding ceremony. Many, many years ago, I built the couple. I built them 5K. As an MC, 5,000 naira. They paid me 2K. They still owe me 3K today. But out of that little, I would always pay my tithe. And I kept dreaming. It's going to get better. My friend and I, one night, we walked in Mokola. We walked past a car, a Mazda. My friend looked at it. I looked at it. We didn't talk to each other. A minute later, I was like, we're reflecting. I said, I know what you're thinking. He said, what am I thinking? I said, you were thinking, God, when will I ever in my life be able to buy this car? He said, you got me right. Because it was the same thought I had too. By the grace of God, that is no longer a dream. Keep dreaming. God is able to make the dream. He's able to give you more than your dream. Ephesians 3:20 makes it clear. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Are you with me, church? But remember, you are not the source. Give your offering. No? Luke 6:38, give. Jesus said, Luke 6:38, please, media, give and it shall be given to you. Give. Come on now. Come on now. Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. Don't make me read my Bible because that will take my time. That Luke 6:38, not Ephesians. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give. What will happen? When you give, what will happen? It shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, right? To make room for it. To make room for more. And running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Paul was giving an order. He said, as I've given that instruction, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. So do ye. You also should give offerings. He said, upon the first day of the week, which is today, Sunday, the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Give every service. Give to God. Give to God. Is a channel of God giving back to you, using men. Give and it shall be given to you. You don't know who is going to give to you. You don't determine who is going to give to you. Amen? You give in the house of God, God can raise white people to give to you. One Sunday afternoon, we went back home after church, and I got a call from the U.S., and this big sister was saying, you know, Pastor Fred, we have a project, and I thought about you. I don't know if you can help us. I said, okay, what can I do? It was a group call with another lady in California. She was calling from North Carolina. And they said, well, we want to do some feeding, want to give some food stuff or like cook food to people, Christians and Muslims. We've been doing it in the north in Nigeria, but we now decided to fight for our people in the southwest that should come to the southwest. I said, okay, so what are you looking at? We're looking at rice and beans and maybe gari. I said, okay, I'll consult with my wife. She probably knows the prices. And then we made inquiries and et cetera, et cetera. And then I called my big sister in ICC, Sister Bumi Akintoba, and then because she does that business, and she gave us all the quotes. And they did some, we did some. Eventually, Expression House partnered with them. And that was why, on Easter Sunday, people that came to church had something good to take home. When you give, God will cause men to give to you. So I'm not surprised that people give me stuff. I'm not. I just wake up sometimes and I find some good money in my account. Somebody somewhere say, Pastor, God laid it in my heart. Like the young man that gave me $100,000. So I eventually knew the doctor. He's a doctor in the UK. We have not seen in 16 years. In 16 years, we have not even spoken. My marriage will be 14 years in December. At least 2 years before I got married, we didn't speak. We were in singles fellowship together in this church. We used to do all the village runs together, village evangelism and stuff like that. He said he was just watching Dunamis video online. He was watching Dunamis online, and then my ad came up for the youth convention. He said, oh, this is Oluwa Fred, my friend. Did I know who was watching the ad? And he said, what I've done is a yielding to a leading. He said, I had to yield to a leading in my heart. I said, yeah, the Lord led you really. Because I asked him for lunch money. Amen. Can I have an amen? That's how someday somebody is going to give me a millionaire. That's how somebody's going to give me 10 million. Someone's going to give me 100 million. I don't know about you, but looking at me, that's how somebody's going to give me a billionaire. And it will happen for you too in Jesus' name. Amen. And look, you be a giver too. Don't just be looking. Give you. You also dream. Someday I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Can I tell you one of my dreams? Don't tell anybody. It's my secret. I told God on the 14th of April, I wrote it down. I want to graduate from paying house rent for pastors. Pastors work hard a lot. But in Nigeria, we rubbish them a lot. Like, they are jobless people, so they don't have anything to do. That's why they are pastoring. So I said to God, graduate me from paying house rent. By the grace of God, I've done that for a couple of people. But graduate me from paying house rent for pastors, specifically for pastors. I want to start building them houses. It's a dream. And in our lifetime, it will come to pass. Someday we'll be gathered like this. It might not be in the expression house. Somewhere where I'm speaking, and you're all big men and women. And I will say it. And I will say, I have witnesses here. And you will be witnesses. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't criticize me. That's my dream. You too dream your own dream. My mentors are dreamers. B. This is subset B now. Subset B. I've given you offerings, number two, which is B, kingdom advancement giving. Kingdom advancement giving. Matthew 6:33, the Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that the Gentiles are running after shall be added unto you. What others are dying to get, they are dying to achieve, God said, these things will be given to you. Seek ye first, seek ye first. Seek ye first, seek ye not next, first, the kingdom of God. I give you a practical example. You need carpet in your room. Your church also needs carpet. Which one should we buy first? You put your money in the church project. Jesus said, these things will be added to you. I never hustled for Mercedes. In fact, when it came, I was rejecting it. I said, no, I want to upgrade my car, the one we're driving, the vehicle. It's a vehicle. The vehicle. I wanted to upgrade to a Toyota Camry, maybe 2005, 2007. I was already asking for the prices. God said, upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. Step up, step up, step up. When I drive through the hood, I see how the boys look at me, man. The Yahoo boys in Mokola. I say, man, Benzoma. Twale. I mean, so I look at them. Twale. Jesus. Jesus. Man, you know, someday I'm going to go and park in the midst of those boys and just I'll wear my shorts and sneakers and t-shirt, smell nice. And I'll just fold my legs. And they'll come and say, man. You know what they will call me? Agbawo. They say, Agbawo. I mean, I say, oh my, Alpha. They say, ah, Agbawo. If not, they are Kunibaje, Kunibaje. Why? Egba Jesu. Jesu lo shile yo. Isha Agbawo, Jesu ni yo. O le she fun e yo. Eh, Jesu. A fi gbedi yo, ma gba Jesu, a go desu, egbe ni, kute li, kuli wake up. Ah, Jesu, Jesu. Eh, baba, si be yo, Jesu, Jesu ni. Dabe. Paul said, I became all things to all men, so that by all means I might win some. Are you with me, church? May God prosper us. Give to the kingdom of God. Give to the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 9:6-12, Amplified Classic. 2 Corinthians 9:6-12. Amplified Classic. You can write it down. Don't let me. I've already spoken about it already. One of the verses there talks about whose heart is in his giving. You remember that? A cheerful, prompt to do it giver. You can give me that verse. I think that's verse 7. Whose heart is in his giving. A joy masun. Lori system. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Thank you. EMPC. Now, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and proposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do with giver, whose heart is in his giving. You heard Fisoye's testimony. Fisoye gave, and I was going to text her and say, hey, babe, what's up? Because the kind of stuff she gave was for a student. Because I'm the kind of pastor, if I know what to do, I want to know what everybody does. And then you give something that is so extra. Alpha now. Alpha, what do you do? So I was going to call her until she now came out of Dunamis and said, I preached about these things and she desired it. And she said to God, I want to give towards Dunamis. And boom, God gave it. And the day it came, she now remembered that pastor said, prompt to do it, give it. And thank God she gave it promptly. If you are not prompt to do it, you will spend it. Everybody has B-U-K-A-T-A, Bill Carter. You know Bill Carter? B-U-K-A-T-A, Bill Carter. Because if Bill Carter meets your money, or meets money in your hands, Bukata! That's Bill Carter. Are you, that's the American pronunciation of Bukata. There is nothing any man has that he doesn't need. We give it out of love. We give it out of sacrifice. Some boys made up their minds that they normally see this kind of lectern in churches, videos. Why can't we have it in expression? It's actually meant for the youth church. It's in the adult church. Adult church people are elderly people. It's the young people that need this kind of curvy. I like it, man. I like the lectern. They didn't announce. They didn't raise offering. Just two of them. And they ensured, they surprised me. I wasn't in church. Boom. They brought it here. My wife told me, I said, what? I didn't see anything. I came to church to see. When there was no service. I said, Lord, have mercy. And to be honest, I've never before now seen gold anywhere. It's always silver I see online. Now we have gold. And after this gold, I've not seen another gold elsewhere. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying it's our first. Two people in this church. I tried to make inquiry into how much it was purchased. They dribbled me, but they told me eventually. Why will God not bless them? Every time I stand here, now choir, how does this feel? Those of you who come here to sing, how does it feel? All of you that are listening to me, how does this look? I'm not attacking choir. I'm talking to everybody. How does this look, church? It looks good. You to look for something to do in the house of God. God will make things that others are chasing after to chase after you. I was in America when I got an invitation to come to London. And I was talking to the lady that was talking to me. I said, well, I'm sorry I would not be able to come because I had a ministration in a Redeemed church in Ajah, Lagos. Almost same time. So if I have to come to London, I will have to come to Nigeria and then overnight quickly do a flight. It will be too stressful for me. America to Nigeria, several hours. And I would have a layover in Dubai. After that conversation, she said, okay, uncle, no problem. Maybe some other time. I said, yeah, God bless you. After the conversation, the Holy Spirit reminded me, Iwana. I mean, back in the day, we're looking for visas like crazy. It was like our life's ambition. So what are you doing now? I'm processing traveling. What are you doing now? I'm processing traveling. Now, traveling is chasing after me. And I'm saying, no, not this year. Not now. I'm not ready. That's you chasing the kingdom of God first, and then good things that others are chasing will now begin to chase you. That will be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number three, subset C. To your parents, and I'll stop here. To your parents, give to your parents. And I mean your biological parents. It's a channel of unending blessing. Till the last day my mom lived, I gave her money. The last statement from my mom to me was, Akinola, God bless you. That's my Yoruba name. She looked at me and pointed her finger, God bless you. I have not recovered from the heavyweight blessing that came that day. And since that day, I've never been stranded in my life. Never. 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 The day that 100,000 came in, I operate two accounts. So the other one was for something separate, and I wasn't going to touch the money there. As a matter of fact, they were running that for the hospital bill and everything. I dropped my ATM. The regular account I used for my day-to-day transaction, I had 3,133 naira. I took my son there. He didn't go to school that Friday morning, so I took him down to Captain Cook, and we spent the 3,000. I'd forgotten how much was there, so I was going to tell them to also package breakfast for me. But I had a prompting to say, don't worry. Because it would not have been nice that day. So I gave them the card, they swiped, they did everything, they got their money. And then I got alert, pum, 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 pum. And I saw my balance, 133 naira, 60-something couple. I said, wow, hallelujah, praise God, amen. My son said, Dad, are you not buying food for yourself again? I said, oh, no worries. Once you have eaten, have eaten. It's fine. It was that evening, the over 100,000 came and met the 133. So you can guess the account balance. So many other things have happened since that day. So I'm not just here sharing 100,000 testimony. So many other things that God has done. Please, bless your parents. This is very important. Isaac said to Esau, Genesis 27, 2 to 4. He said, go now, get me, make me venison. Go and get a game, kill a game, an animal. Make suya, make asun, make barbecue for me. The type that I like to eat. He said, why? He said, so that I may eat of it, all right? And then my soul may bless you before I die. Those are the patriarchs. They didn't die with the blessing. They found a way to release it before they died. They found a way to release it. Rebecca had it. And then the twist happened. He made the savory meat for Jacob. And Jacob took it to the father. The father ate it and blessed him. By the time Esau came back and declared his identity, the father said, oh, your brother is taking your blessing. And guess what? And he shall be blessed indeed. He trembled on his bed. He said, and that boy shall be blessed indeed. Because the moment it is released, it is irreversible. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Do everything to secure your parents' blessings. Those of you that keep malice with your mom, malice with your dad, it is the height of stupidity. Stupidity. Don't you ever become so posh that you look down on your parents. You came from their loins. They could have aborted you at 2 weeks before the fulfillment of first trimester. Never walk out on your parents. Never shut the door on them. Never shout back at them. Never walk out on them. Never, 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 never. Because they may not speak the curse, but the look they are giving you is not a very good one. And the vibes coming from them can shut doors against you. God said, if I be a father, then where is my honor? I said to people in this church, I've said it over the years. And because of that, some rascals have fought me. I don't care. I will never change. If you have an issue with your parents and it comes to my table, you will never win. You will never win against your parents. Just know, before they report you to Pastor Fred, that Pastor Fred already has taken sides with them. Because nobody can love you like them. Do you know the process of birth? When a woman is giving birth, is a process of life and death. Some women, after delivery, they go into psychosis. Some have blindness. I was there in all sorts in UCH a few days ago. Some run mad. Some go into depression. Post whatever. Nursing students and medical students, you have all the terms. And then you have now grown. You are a big girl now. So you can now look at your mom and say, no, mom, you're old school. No, don't talk to me like that. Mommy, I'm in the uni. Excuse me. Excuse me, mom. Ah. Omo to mo yare loju o. O si yo to mo na pa. O si oni tayin pa loruko Jesu. If you have ever done it before, go home today. Lie down prostrate before them and say, Dad, forgive me. Mom, forgive me. And bless me. Why? You have not done anything. I did something. Forgive. Pastor Fred said, you come and apologize. Do it today. Will you do it? Because those who have offended their parents don't want the church to know that they have. Will you do it? Will you do it? And God will bless you for it. Can I have an amen? I want to stop, really. Let me stop. Because I can't do justice to this point alone today. I'm going to continue from there next week. I want to show you Joseph. Joseph took care of his father. Hi! When you get home, go and read Genesis 45. Read from verse 1 to 28. Just one chapter. Genesis 45. Joseph took care of his father. Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. He was running Egypt. Some broke guys said, now we run this town. Now we which way? You know they run your room. Okay, why didn't cut your wire? You don't pay NEPA bill. You know, now we run this town because you don't do shepe. Now we run this town. You know they run anything. No. Joseph was running Egypt. He was a foreigner. He didn't have citizenship. He didn't have permanent residence. He didn't have university education. In a country where education started from, when his mates were in the University of Egypt, University of Cairo, he was in the University of Prison. But God was with him. God promoted him. Why did he go to prison? He chose sexual purity over 5 minutes enjoyment to be servicing madam. Say, no, I can't service you, madam. I service every other thing in this house. All the property of my master, they are under my care, but not you. You are his wife. Young man, learn this and know peace. Sugar mommy is all over the internet. Ooh, they are sucking your destiny with a straw. One fuck with a straw. You say, oh man, she's going to buy me a car, iPhone. Hello. Young ladies, zip up. There's no sugar daddy anywhere. It's Olubu daddy. You know Olubu? Bitter leaf. God promoted Joseph. Joseph became a big man. He said to his brothers, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. He was younger than Pharaoh. In that Genesis 45, when you get home, read it today. Don't let it be tomorrow. Today. While it's still, as it is hot. Today. Are you going to read it when you get home? Okay, very good. He said, God has made me a father. I'll be papa to Pharaoh. Now, me being father, I tell him what to do. He said, I am Joseph. Go back home. Tell my father that I'm still alive. He now blessed each of them with stuff and stuff for the way, for the journey, food for the journey. And he gave them changes of raiment. To Benjamin, he gave 5 changes of raiment and maybe about 30,000 or so pieces of silver. That was his only blood brother. And he now sent several asses and oxen filled with the good of Egypt to his father. Joseph, why are you doing that? Shebi, you said they should go home and bring your father. You don't go to my father empty. He loaded animals to bless his father. The father will never be able to exhaust those things till he comes to Egypt. Joseph sent it all the way, all the same. It's like somebody sending you a flight ticket to come to America. Your cousin or your auntie or your whoever. And then now sends you $10,000 as your personal travel allowance. Shebi, you say I should come to America, even if it's only $1. Let me just enter. My first trip to America, I had $500 in my pocket. $500. Powerful. $500. How much is that? And I was doing like a big man. I got to the airport. Yeah, you have money? Yes, I have money. $500. I can't even recall myself traveling with so much money. Jacob sent so much to his father. And then they brought his father in grand style. And he settled his father. He first of all took his father to Pharaoh. Come and meet Pharaoh, the king. Pharaoh was glad to meet Jacob. Oh, Jacob, the patriarch, who had been told before that his son Joseph had died, who had grieved for the son of his old age, the one he made the coat of many colors for, he was glad to see Joseph. He said, so I will still see Joseph while I'm alive. He hugged him, he kissed him, they cried. Then Joseph said, come on, dad, let me take you to the king. Went to the king, he blessed Pharaoh, he blessed him in the name of Jadhe Vavhe, the God of Abraham, my grandfather, the fear of Isaac, my father. Let him bless you, king. Pharaoh said, amen. Pharaoh said, Joseph, settle your people in the best part of the land, the best part, the best part, the banana island of the land, the Meitama district of the land, the ministerial hill, the Aso Rock of the land. That's where to settle your father. Joseph settled his father and all his family members, all of them, all of them. Don't leave anybody at all. Bring everybody. Powerful migration. And settle them in Goshen. Whenever there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. Joseph honored his father. Oh, I wish Rachel was still alive. How do you think Joseph would have pampered his mom? Sons and their moms. Only God can understand. Only God knows the bond. But on the way to Ephrath, a little way to Ephrath, Rachel died. In this church, in the mighty name of Jesus, no one is permitted to die on the verge of their breakthrough. Every good thing God has packaged for your life, you will enjoy it. I'm talking to people who think I've been sent to them. So I'm releasing this blessing that no force in this life will ever be able to cut short your destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever dream God has put in your heart, you will live to see the reality of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God's mercy will make up for your mistakes in the name of Jesus. Where you have messed up your life, the mercy of God will give you a message. It will erase your mess. It will erase your mess. Get on your feet. It will erase your mess. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Some of you, after this service today, send something to your parents. Even if they are rich. Send them a recharge card. Go to a store. Buy them a bottle of fruit wine. Non-alcoholic. Say, Daddy, I just came home. I just want to bless you. So, what? Who taught you this? Our pastor said, he showed us in the Bible. Some of you buy fruit. Fruit. Apples. Soursop, watermelon, bananas. Huh? Package, go and give your parents. As they are eating it, they are blessing you. Even if they don't open their mouth to bless you, their spirit man is releasing blessing. We don't need the curses from our parents. Oh, I need the rara. Ongbadura funwa. As in struggle. Ba shekwe so wa ba olaye wa se feri. I understand Yoruba mi e ke yan ma gbe pe lenu obi ko da o. Apologies to non Yoruba speakers, Juliet and go. Buy suya. Whatever you know your dad likes to eat or mommy likes to eat, buy today as it is hot. Pepper soup. Some of you don't even have money. You don't have anything. Get on your phone. Compose a message. Bless them in that message. Tell them you are so blessed that you came to this life through them. They didn't abort you. They could have aborted you. 2 weeks. Well, I can't find my period. Well, look for your period. Oh. Look for the period. Well, you can't find it. When your mommy got pregnant, daddy could have said no. Look for your period. What do you mean? Post it now. Go and wash it. But they didn't wash you away. So you think what they deserve is to be talking back at them. No! Today, compose a message. Dad, I'm so privileged. If you don't have a dad again, like me, you have a mom, compose. You don't have a mom again, like me. Look for a father figure, a mother figure in your life. Practical one. The one that is there. Not the, I will be your father now. Now that your father has gone, I will be your father. one that said it to my when my father died. He said we've been our house rent. When the rent was due, I went to his house. He chased me. He said, do you think they're plucking money from the tree? Oh yeah, double is your. Real parents, real or parent figures in your life. Bless them. There are messages that people write to you. You read, and tears of joy begin to well down. Some of you, you know that your parents are going through financial struggle. They're struggling real hard to pay your fees, to take care of you. Especially those responsible fathers. Kai, they don't buy shoes because of you. Today, compose a message. Bless him. Compose another one for mommy. Bless her. Tell her she's the best in the world. You could never have wished for another mother. Let them read it and cry. Tears of joy. Ah! So this child appreciates me. You know what will come after? They will swear a blessing on you. Ononya de lao. God will open doors for you. Lord, answer the amen of the three people that said amen. Lord, there are more than three. Answer their prayer. Yes. We are entering into a new season, the Expression House. You know what the Lord said to me? A season of ease. All those hard life, hard, over. We are entering now a season of ease. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever you have struggled hard to achieve before now, by the grace of God resident with us today, go ahead and do it with ease. Angels will work for you. Lord, answer the amen of the two that came. Angels will work for you. Men will work for you. Women will work for you. Foreigners will work for you. Those you have never met will work for you. Those who have never met you will work for you. Recommend before the king will work for you. The chief butlers of Pharaoh will work for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, God will give you the gift of men, and your men will not be few. Give him thanks, everybody. Hallelujah.